Good morning, welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday the 15th of March, second day of Cheltenham. If you stay on beyond the end of my little bit of talking now, you will get the full audio of Andy and I on the FTS brunch, which was on YouTube. You can watch the video on YouTube and the bets I've posted on the FTS website in the blog section if you're interested in following that. Bloodbath yesterday, I'm going to come back strong today, but Andy's also put up some mentions in the YouTube section, and obviously those of you subscribed to his excellent write-ups get the extras and the trades he's going to have. But great to have him on. Thoroughly enjoying doing the brunches. If you like them, please do like them, retweet them, whatever else you have to do. Subscribe. I'm no good at all this stuff. Click the bell icon. I still can't remember what that does. But it just tells us that you like that content, and then we can do more of it. I'm really keen on how I apportion my time over this next few months. I have got the old patient back home out of hospital. Hasn't been easy, I'm not going to lie. Been in a massive amount of pain. And obviously I'm having to do everything. Change dressing, shower, dress, dog sitting, cooking, ironing, cleaning, hoovering, all of it. Normally we share this sort of stuff around. I'm finding it quite hard going, but most importantly is getting her back on her feet. She's not sleeping, has to sleep on her back. She's not slept properly for the time she's been home, getting very down with it. A bit of a challenge, but we'll get there. Every day, as I keep saying to her, every day is a step forward. Today, having to pick my son up from the dentist, he's having wisdom teeth out, and apparently they don't let them. He literally lives half a mile from the dentist, and they don't let him walk home. He's got to actually fill in. I've never heard anything like this. Got to fill in forms, escort forms they're called, for somebody to go and pick him up. So I've got to drive all the way up to Bexley Heath, literally pick him up to drop him half a mile home, because they won't let him either have the procedure or go home on his own, and they won't let him do it in a cab. Absolutely, I've never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life. What is going on? Well, I've ever heard more ridiculous in my life. The furore over Gary Lineker and all that nonsense, and I will get to that when time allows me. There's lots of stuff that I've stored up, and yes, by the time I get out to it, it'll probably be a bit out of date. But this country is just becoming an absolute shambles for the way it's run, and this is nothing to do with Lineker. It's nothing to do with refugees. This is purely, yet again, another governed by slogan, get on an election footing. We won the last election on get Brexit done, and this election is going to be fought on a Tory policy of stop the boats. And it's absolutely ridiculous the way that this country is plummeting in its standards. But I'll cover all that on another day. And I'm not saying that it's not a contentious issue. I fully get that. Mine is the handling of it and how we are just being run by slogans. I keep saying that. People going, lefty, lefty. I have absolutely no doubt that there's people with genuine concerns about the number of people coming into this country. I will deal with all that at a later date, but the Lineker thing last week, it was frankly pathetic. It was completely and utterly pathetic behaviour all round from everybody, how we managed to get that. When that's becoming front page headlines that Gary Lineker's not on Match of the Day, it becomes nonsense. And people, one of the things that really annoyed me about it was people saying, all of a sudden all the Tory MPs also happen to watch Match of the Day with no commentary, never watched a game in their lives. I don't watch Match of the Day, haven't watched it for years, but people saying that Match of the Day shouldn't be watched, should be taken off air, it's outdated. Still over 20% of the viewing population at that time watch Match of the Day. For some people who are less fortunate than ourselves, who do not have Sky, older people who do not understand the internet and YouTube, it is one of their only ways to connect with football. I think it's thoroughly arrogant to say just take it off air, this, that and the other. It does serve its place. Its numbers have grown steadily over the last 10 years, bar the COVID period, and it still takes up over 20% of the viewing membership. in that time slot. And for those of you, The Apprentice, for example, takes up 10% in its time slot. Top Gear takes up about 10% in its time slot. Doctor Who takes 22.7% in its time slot. And those of you who love Love Island, that takes about 12%. So of all those programmes, one of the top hitters in its time slot is Match of the Day. It does have a place for people who do not have Sky and YouTube and these things. Yes, if you watch the highlights on YouTube, that's fine. But to say it's outdated and doesn't exist for other people, I think you're disgusting personally. There we go. But that takes away from the whole thing, was just pathetic what went on. Anyway, what am I doing here today? I'm rushing, you see, because I'm in a rush because I've got nursing duties and things to do. Just before you get to Cheltenham, I've not had time, obviously I'm not going to get time while Sam's as she is to do full on golf podcasts and YouTubes, but I did want to talk about the event this week, the Valspar Championship at Copperhead. It's one of the more interesting courses on tour because it's got very narrow fairways, only about 20 yards wide at 300 yards. You may have seen yesterday in the news that the R&A are talking of rowing, and the USGA talking of rowing the ball back that the professionals use. I don't agree with the sort of difference between pros and amateurs, this bifurcation. I don't believe in it. I do think something needs to be done about the equipment, but I think it should apply to us all. I don't think it would denigrate the game that much to row everything a little bit back. I'm all for them tackling the issue. I'm not one for watching golf where it's just drives and wedges week in, week out. It just doesn't really interest me. But this course this week is tree lined, par 71, four par fives, five par threes, which is quite unusual. But it is all more about this. Why I like this place is it is a little bit more about the second shots, because the fairways are narrow. It is quite long. As usual, I will put my trades up. If you follow my trades, you've got to be on the ball. I got 70% out of Hovland's move last week on the second day. I had several messages. Oh, I missed it. How did you get that? I didn't see it. If you're not watching it, you're not going to see it. There is an ability to set an auto cash out on Betfair to at least get your stakes out or whatever. If you lost money, that is down to you. If you think I'm lying, there's plenty of people in there. The money was there. I got 70% on Hovland. I posted when I took 70%. It is there. But if you're going to trade anything, football, horses, golf, whatever, you've got to pay attention and be on the ball, not bleat and whine after the event. So today, for just going to give some pre-event tips for the Valspar. You can follow at your own level. Just some I've got interest in. Thomas heads the market. Hasn't been playing great. Fancied him at TPC. Didn't really show up. Jordan Spieth obviously playing well on his Cavalier. I mean, he was going to miss the cut last week. Hit a guy in the crowd. His ball bounced back into the fairway. It was going in the water. Bounced into the fairway, and he went on and made eagle. To make the weekend. Matt Fitzpatrick sits third in the betting, 19.5. Sam Burns, 21. I'm going to ignore all four of those, just on price, really. The next two I quite like. I like Keegan Bradley, who has been playing and is one of the better ball strikers, despite his sort of unconventional action, has been playing well, decent action. Keegan Bradley at 28 is a sort of pre-event focus. And Justin Rose at 27. Justin Rose disappeared off the planet when he changed his equipment. He's slowly winding his way back. He is still one of the best ball strikers on tour. Fantastic golf swing. He won at Pebble Beach back in February. This is the sort of course where he can excel, where it is a little bit more on longer irons into greens, playing shots. So Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, and the other one I like, who again I think is a player just coming back into form. He doesn't win much, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see him winning again soon, is Tommy Fleetwood at 32. So out of the sort of pre-event stuff, I like Bradley 28, Rose 27, and Fleetwood 32. If you want to get involved pre-event, you could Dutch them or back them all with a view to trade. You've been talking to Andy on the YouTube this morning about taking stakes out. And then down the money, always like to put a flyer up. Guy had a hole in one last week, Alex Smalley at 110. He's got decent approach to the green stats. I think that'll give him a boost last week, played half decent. So Alex Smalley at 110, but just remember that is a flyer. The market is giving him next to no chance. I personally don't think Thomas will win this week. could world winner could come from Spieth, Fitzpatrick, Burns, but I do like Bradley, Rose and Fleetwood just sitting in behind that top bunch. And we will, of course, have the trades on Friday. I'll do it probably before I do the Cheltenham podcast. If there's anything that comes up, I will put it up. But if you are going to get involved, you can't miss them. That's the thing, you know. You can't give away 70% profit, or you know, you certainly should have got 50% everybody, and you can't miss opportunities like that for the weeks when we have a bad week. But I'm pretty confident. I like this event. I'm pretty confident this week that we should get ourselves in the money somewhere. It's one of the events. I don't do a lot of pre-event backing anymore, but I do like the ones I've mentioned there for you today. Of course, anything you get involved with is at your own peril. Football and everything will continue as normal. I have been very quiet, obviously, you know, what's going on at home, it will pass. But I'm really enjoying doing the YouTubes with Andy. And as things get better at home, my time will free up and I'll be back to a normal schedule of podcasts and things. I've got loads of stuff to come up, loads of stuff to show you. And football continues as normal. I'm still trading football. I'm still sitting doing bits. Just obviously not as vocal about it at the minute. But everything will continue as normal. We do have an international break coming up. And then we can watch City get in gear and watch them old gooners crumble. Have a lovely Wednesday. Enjoy Cheltenham. And if you stay on the line, you will get the Cheltenham audio coming right up.
Right, there you go.
All right, good morning, guys. Welcome to the FTS Cheltenham brunch day two. I've moved in with Andy, as you can see now. I've moved in. Got the same.
Can you play the piano though?
I can knock out the old piano. I can play the Sting on the piano. I was taught that when I was a kid.
Well, we got two songs then because I can play Norwegian Wood.
Oh, well, there you go. I can play. I was taught the theme tune to Sting. Fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. I was taught that when I was a kid. I can still knock that out. Right, so let's say good morning. Morning, Lonesome Star. Good morning, Scott. Morning, John Philbin. Gary, crush it with Ian. I like that. Morning. Morning, Mark and Stevenage, as always. Lovely to see you. Jaster. Got my Man City colours on today, Jaster. I've got my City colours on. A little bit of sky
blue. We want them to stay in. Keep them playing.
Morning, Dave L. Morning, On the Machine. Morning, Kerry. Morning, Nitesh. Andrew Barnes. Kevin Kelly. And yeah, Kevin Kelly, so lovely. You've got yourself a bacon sarnie. It is the FTS brunch. You lot can carry on and eat. We haven't got time. Those of us who do the work haven't got time to sit here stuffing croissants down. It's all right that I don't know whether he's in here. That Tiger spreadsheet, sitting doing a few Excel sheets for a couple of hours a day. Some of us have got proper work to do, son.
I've got my hot milk here, milk and alcohol.
Yeah, I've got time to sit making croissants. I'm nursing a flipping hip replacement up here. right, yesterday, we better have a little talk about yesterday, Andy. Working through it. I didn't get off to the start. I thought I would with Tarmouris, who faded off back into 10th, but I thought the winner, Marine Nacional, I'd actually been told in the morning that it was a really good horse, but the going would stop it. Mm-hmm. It certainly didn't. It was very pacey, I thought, flying up the old hill to win comfortably. And we did say Hassel Vega was a bit short and found one too good again. Did you take anything out of it for you there?
I did lay Hassel Vega, but I nearly had to go for a change of underpants and it turned for home. But the winner, well, the trainer, Barry Connell, had been incredibly confident about the winner. He was on Nick Luck's show about a month ago, and he'd been really confident about it. And his other, and you could see literally as that passed the post, the price on the other one he's got today in the Ballymore, Good Land, absolutely crashed. It went into about 3-1. As everybody was trying to pile on it on Betfair and on with the books as well. It's bounced back out today. But he's been very confident about it. It's nice to see someone other than Mullins win a race. But Hassel Vega, yeah, I didn't think it ran a bad race. I'll go back. I probably will write a perspective or a retrospective on the whole meeting for anyone who wants it. So it'll probably take me about a month to do it, as it did last year, as other things kick in. But yeah, I thought he rode like a pretty decent race. Winner, the winner could well go on from there. But Yeah, he's all right. But the key takeout for me was that the first eight home were all Irish.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, depressing. And Andy watches all the races about 10 times after the meeting. I've actually witnessed this. It's something else to behold. It is the boy. I tell you, yeah, I don't know anybody who works harder in the game. And then in the second, I got a message after we'd done the thing, after we'd done this yesterday. I didn't back these, but I was told to lump on the El Fabiolo and the one that won the last, Gaillard de Menil. I was told to lump on the double by a horse racing friend of mine, good punter. He said that was his main bet of the day. He doubled them up. And El Fabiolo, it destroyed John Bond, didn't it, really? It pummeled it.
John Bond ran a decent race. Good to see Dynamo get up.
And you did call it right with St. Roy running on for the places as everything else was failing.
You only had to look at the way it was ridden out the back, pick up the pieces, probably got a bit lucky with Dioxide Dynamo, which I was pleased to see get up, falling. John Bond still ran a good race. As I understand it, and I haven't had a really good look through these yet, El Fabiolo ran a fabulous speed figure. If they take that down the champion chase route next year, and if we get a good race today between Edwardston and Nurgamine, and probably add a few others in as well, we could have a really decent 2 mile champion chase division next year as well. But on all known looks, he looks a fabulous horse as well. You can't always tell as much from the telly, but he looks a real slab of a horse.
I thought it was
pretty impressive.
I did manage to
get a few quid out of those place markets, which are often a little bit ignored on Betfair. But you can get some quite decent prices in there sometimes. And the three places on St. Wah was about 2.4, 2.42, 2.48. So it wasn't not my normal sort of bet, but it paid for the race.
Sam was mightily pissed because she had Straw Fan Jack, who finished fourth. So there you go.
Done well for that small stable, Sheila Lewis. She's had a remarkable few seasons. She's done really well. She's a very good trainer.
And then the next race, Corrick Rambler defended, did exactly what it did last year, came there at the end and just caught them all up the hill to just pull away and win by a neck.
Belting rides for Derek Fox again. He's very, very, very underrated. I think he's probably got a chance in the National. I mean, it used to be that you couldn't come from that far back in the Nationals, but I'm not so sure now the way they sort of remodeled the course. He's certainly got a good chance in that. Again, it was I got done by this horse last year, having a horse that led over the last. This year it was Mombeg Genius who led over the last and then just got done up the hill. I thought he ran an absolute belter, but so did Corrick Rambler. Great ride. Good credit to Derek Fox, who's very, very underrated. You know what I'd call him more of a horseman than a jockey. But does a really good job on that horse, and it gives him a really live chance. It was a smashing interview with Peter Scudamore afterwards, and I've often spoken to Peter quite a lot with my RTV or UK days, and he's a smashing fella, always gives plenty of his time. And it's nice to see him win, because Lucinda Russell stayed in very, very good form at the moment, but they must have a live chance of winning what would be the second National for them, having won it with one for Arthur.
And then the next one, it was close, wasn't it? It was close. I said in the thing yesterday, I wanted to see it win impressively. I mean, it was just fantastic, wasn't it? It was fantastic to watch.
Only 9 lengths in the end. I think he could have. The jump at the last was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you've got that still shot going around on social media of it jumping the last. He did ease off, though, didn't he? He did ease off going up that last to he could have probably got the 10 lengths if he'd
probably
kept going.
I mean, it was that horse wasn't out of first gear. I mean, they've got so many options for that horse. Nice to see Michael Buckley have a decent horse. He's put an awful lot of money into the game. He's had some good horses before, but he's put an awful lot of money into the game. I was pleased for Nicky Henderson. I mean, his record in that champion hurdle is phenomenal. I mean, people don't know about Mullins at Cheltenham, but he's, you know, his record at Cheltenham, and that's his 10th champion hurdle winner.
Have that, you Irish. Have that, you Irish. Have that.
They're still five-two up though. it was really a case. I mean, he's put some decent horses away there. He's put State Man away. Be interesting to see what rating he gets. My personal opinion, probably around something like a 180 horse. I think he's in that class, and he could go higher. Be interesting to see where they go with him. They've got absolutely all sorts of things. He's quite a sporting owner, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them. The sort of defensive way would be to come back and defend the crown next year. And the really balls out way would be to go jumping, maybe try and win an Arkle, and then maybe stick him in the Gold Cup the year after.
Ooh, that would be impressive, wouldn't it? Look, yeah. Here we go. No, not that one. Yeah, it did trade low in running. That was Ross Barry's one. Here we go. Chaz and Dave on site. Only if we're doing the Spurs songs, Barry.
Oh,
only
no.
If we're doing the old Spurs are on their way to Wembley and I dream. We can knock out all the greats.
There's no chance of that this year, so.
Shut up. Right, 4:10 was Honeysuckle. I thought that Marie's Rock, I just thought it ran poorly, I'll be honest. I don't know your view. I watched the race back, actually. I did rewind it. I just didn't think it was ever really going or look. I never, ever looked watching that race, thought that was going to win. Great to see Honeysuckle. I have got a moan just before you go. I have got an absolute moan up, though. I didn't watch all the racing yesterday. I was doing bits in between. But I did obviously watch Constitution Hill win. I did watch Honeysuckle win. And I've got a real thing. I've talked about this on podcasts of the recency bias. Oh, I've never seen a reception like that. We've never seen a welcome like that when they're coming back in. It's complete and utter bollocks that these people talk on TV nonstop. We've had great horses at Cheltenham for 30, 40 years coming in that I've seen. They always get great receptions. It's like when they try and say that City-Liverpool is the greatest Premier League thing. It's always the most recent thing is the best. It was winding me right up yesterday. We had it with Constitution Hill, and then obviously Rachel wins on Honeysuckle. Fantastic. But, oh, we've never seen a reception like it. Yes, we have. We've seen it loads of times. Shut up.
I think we should go to
Gary Lineker format. No pundits.
The nicest thing there was to win for Henry de Bromhead. I think most people know what a terrible
year
he's had with the loss of his son, who got killed in a pony race. I've only ever met him once, but he's one of the nicest people you ever meet. Very giving of his time. And I thought he handled all the interviews with incredible poise, decorum, and just all round.
It's fantastic. I fully take it.
And the horse as well has done remarkably well. I mean, she's, you know, champion here. She's, you know, she's unbeaten at the festival. So it was great to see. Personally, I thought she went off a little bit too short, but you do get that with a bit of sentiment sometimes. She battled on well to win what I think was a pretty decent race. My one gripe about the race was it just wasn't particularly quickly run. And I think that probably played into the hands of those up front. I wish they could find a two-mile mares race for Echoes in Rain, because she was absolutely cruising, just didn't get home once again.
Yeah, she was. Funny enough, Sam had her money on that,
She's a very, very decent, not quite sort of, you know, champion hurdle class. Can't run in the novices 2 miles. Very classy flat horse. Just doesn't quite get that trip over hurdles, and which is a bit of a shame, because I think she's a horse you'd love to own. All in all, it was great. I agree with you. Everyone gets a good reception at Cheltenham, unless you're Matt Hancock, who was there yesterday. I certainly wouldn't
see
him.
Was he there? I didn't see that.
I've taken great pleasure in tipping him off a balcony somewhere, but
should have laid him down over one of the. I didn't see the last two. 4:50 Jazzy Matty won. Your dark horse, which you put in your thing, Sundial, grab place money at a nice price. Metamorpheus finished 6th, which was one I mentioned. Can't even remember the rest. By now, I was just pouring blood by now, Andy. I was leaking money by this stage. Nothing was
once again, it was that key race from Nice. The first, second, all the all the four that eventually ran in that finished in the first 10. First, second, sixth, and eighth, I think they finished, and they all ran well. So that is that strangely has been one of the key races. Little bit annoying that the one I picked out of it, Biker, didn't quite get up. You could have had the forecast out of that race. Metamorphosis, went off at 80 in the end in Betfair. It was ridiculous. Sundial ran a great race. If you watch it back, you see just doesn't quite get a clear run around that last bend, and he bungles the last as well. Each way money, bit of a crossbar job. One of those, but you're going to get that in Cheltenham handicaps. You've got to have a bit of luck for him to drop your way. But I'm pretty pleased with the way he ran, and with those form figures, it wasn't too bad.
And then this race, I'm going to go. This is when I talk on my podcast about people watching like football matches on Betfair. This race nearly gave me a cardiac arrest. The 5, because I didn't watch it, but I followed your advice of backing Manella Crooner and Marlowe, yeah, whatever it was, and covering on Gaillard de Maynil.
Yes,
I did it to quite a reasonable sum of money. And I was absolutely shitting myself when I saw the other two coaches were 1,000. I think one pulled up. It seems like whatever it was called, Marlon Mission. It seemed like that looked like it was going to win, and then it fell. Did it feel well clear? And then this other thing.
The choice of whether it would have, Marlon Mission would have held on. I've watched it a few times. I'm still sort of juries out. I think the thing with Gaillard de Maynil, and I saw the interview with Patrick Mullins afterwards, and they'd run it over a lot shorter a couple of times. And I think he just wanted to get the horse settled in this time. And they got away from him a little bit. Whether he would have caught Marlon Mission if he stood up, I'm not totally convinced. In the end, it was a cup of tea job, wasn't it? And you sort of thought, I could have had a few quid.
I mean, I didn't watch it. So all I was watching was the Betfair prices moving. And you're seeing Chemical Energy or whatever go odds on. I thought, I've done my dough here. Why have I done that? Because I went, see, this is what we're talking about. I went against my plan. I backed my horses, but I did think, oh, I'm going to have that bet. And I thought, I'll fuck this right up now because this is not going to win.
Well, you didn't, but...
So I was quite happy to see Gaillard win in the end.
His stamina kicked in and he won quite. He won. He probably deserved to win that. I think they'd probably ride him differently given the race again. But I could see why he rode him that way given how they sort of campaigned him. I think they probably just went a bit too quick up front. You'll never know if he held on or not.
And I was kind of spurred on by the message I'd had about my mate back in doing the double of El Fabiolo, and El won that. So I thought, well, got away with that one. Right, let's get into today. So we have today's racing. Again, starts at 1:30. We've got a 1:30 novice hurdle to kick us off. Impair Epasse heads the market at 3. Or when I looked, it's 3.15 now I notice. I like in this Hermes Allen, who won the Challow Hurdle at Newbury, basically walking across the line on soft ground. I am going to back that, get Paul Nichols and Sir Alex Ferguson, who's part owner, back in the winner's circle. And I'm going to have a small dabble on a horse who showed great prospects a while back, American Mike, who's never really gone on, but tongue-tied today, Davy Russell in the saddle. He's going to sneak a place for the three places. So I'm having £20 win, Hermes Allen to beat Impair Epasse, Gaelic Warrior and Goodland, and £15 win, American Mike at 50, £15 place at 7.0 to nick a place. Over to you.
Right, well, I could probably take your bet then, couldn't I? Because I don't like Hermes Allen at all. I think it's a ridiculous price.
Here we go. See, how do I get him off this street?
The Challow's got a terrible record in this race, 0-20. I think they'll try and make it a test of stamina, but when you think that the Irish novices absolutely hammered us yesterday.
Stop it.
I just don't. I don't really see Hermes. I don't see it winning at the price. I don't see it. Well, I think it's a ridiculous price now.
If anyone wants to guest on this tomorrow instead of Andy, feel free to put your name forward.
In terms of price, and price is everything, to quote your good self, I just think it's too short now.
Okay.
I think it's too short.
How do I lay this back?
There are some... No, don't change your mind, Ken. Impera Passe is very talented. You just might have a slight doubt about his staying ability. Good Land is a horse I like. I thought he'd gone to a daft price, but he's bounced back again today. Partly because he's got a fair bit of stamina. Gaelic Warrior is really interesting. I think he's overpriced. He won a very valuable handicap hurdle last time out doing handsprings at odds on. I mean, I thought it was a ridiculous price on the day, but the one small niggle with him is, A, I'm not the biggest fan of Patrick Mullins on a horse, and the horse does jump right a little bit, but he's got a fantastic engine. He was just touched off in the Boodles here last year when he was punted off the boards for that race. And I think you'd have to throw in Champ Keeley as well. I mean, I could see another Irish 1-2-3 here.
Dan Lyons has asked, have you got any thoughts on Champ Keeley?
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. I think he was keen when he was in the fourth in the Royal Bond, but he settled much better from the front when he won at Nace last time out. You could question that running, but I could see, and I don't quite know which one of the Irish, but I wouldn't put anyone off having a sort of tri-cast or forecast involving the main Irish horses here. That's probably the way I'd go. It's not a massive punting race for me, but I do think that Hermes Allen is way too short. I can see that bouncing out on Betfair. I can't see it going off under 3-1.
Malkin Steve broke my yeah. It was the naught from the Chalo's got naught from 20 that really done me, Mark. That was it. Didn't need to throw that in, did he? He didn't need to throw his knowledge in there. He could have just let me have a dream for a couple of hours. he's destroyed me there.
You'll be doing it back to me with the old gooners at the end of the year, probably.
And Good Land was backed in, as Matt White says yesterday, and you mentioned in the review.
The trainer, Barry Connell, has been really confident about that as a double. And I imagine there are some liabilities running up on it. I was not surprised to see it bounce back, because it went to a very, very short price yesterday. But again, a useful horse, a lot of stamina in it, and trainer's very, very confident. But I wouldn't rule out another Irish 1-2-3 here.
All I'll say, lads, is make sure you tune in tomorrow if Hermes Allen does win, because the review will go on for about an hour.
Just on that one race, will it?
Yeah. Right, we've got the 2-10 at Jerry Colom hits the market, 2.58. Again, it's drifted slightly since I did my bits, 2.64 now. Seven wins in seven. I don't know much about it. I've not seen this run at all, so I've no idea about this one. The one I like is Course and Distance winner, The Real Whacker. I think that's got a really good chance. I think this could be a really good race looking with The Real Whacker, because it will go off in front, I assume. So Gerhard obviously has won at the festival twice, so that's got to have a chance. So for me, I think... I'll be really disappointed if The Real Whacker's not in the first three places. So I've got £25 win at 7.8. It has drifted to 8.2, so I've missed out there. And £25 place at 2.3. Now, are you going to take that one down? Are you going to pull me to pieces here?
No, not at all. Probably going to agree with you. Again, not a massive punting race. Half the field come from the Mullins yard. Probably the most interesting one is the one... Apart from Sir Gerhardt, is the one he supplemented into the race, which I thought was a bit of a strange move. Adamantly chosen, he'd probably have a bit of a chance. Actually, he's finished runner up to a couple of decent, a couple of the Elliott big guns, Mighty Potter, and the aforementioned Jerry Colom. I wouldn't put anyone off Jerry Colom at all. Probably a little bit too short. So Gerhard, I'm not particularly keen on his form. Looks a little bit, the form over fences isn't much, because he's only beaten two horses last time out, and his jumping was a little bit hit and miss, shall we say. Probably more miss than hit. It was interesting that Jerry Cullum, they never gave it an entry in the 2.5 mile race, the Turner. So they must think that they think this one is all stamina. Won't surprise me if it wins. A couple of pokes in this race who I thought were just overpriced. One is the Real Whacker, who if he gets out in front and gets in a real rhythm, I think if he was in any other yard, he'd be a little bit shorter. He's trained by a guy called Patrick Neville, who's moved over here from Ireland, trains up north. Rents a yard from up there, and yeah, I think he's quite interesting. The other one I think is quite interesting is the mare. Don't get many mares running this race now. Gallia de Little, who had one blowout when she ran really badly at Kempton over Christmas, but I think she was much better going left-handed at Warwick last time out. So what I'm probably going to do in this race is I'll probably try and trade both of those, because I think they're both overpriced, so I'll certainly trade both of those and just save the stakes on Jerry Cullum. I think that's probably the way I'll play this race. That's okay, that's it. Time Hill, I still think his jumping's a little bit dodgy. To Gerhardt, so it's a big if to win this on your second chase start, although he's quite talented. Adamantly Chosen is interesting, but you can't back them all. So Gallia de Lito and the Real Whacker, who I think is a little bit underrated. And he's got form around here as well, which counts for a lot. And Hubble and Jerry Cullum, who is probably a relatively solid favourite.
Okay, lovely. And then the 250, 2 mile, 5 furlong handicap hurdle, just the 26 going to post. These are my speciality, these ones. I've had a word this morning for the favourite, Captain Combi, being told that it's obviously been aimed at this race. That's the bit you all know that I don't, but maybe one of the only favourites I've backed this week. I have had a decent word for it. I mean, as decent a word as you can get in a 26 runner race. So I've backed that at 11.5, £25 win, 11.5, £25 place, 3.4. I'm not having massive stakes today because obviously I've done my bollocks yesterday. So I like the bet when I'm in front. And then I've got two others. I mean, I've actually had about 8 horses sent to me this morning in this race. So you can't, like you just said, you can't back them all. So I have picked two at bigger prices. I like Cam Prond with Aidan Coleman on, which is £20 win at 24, £20 place at 4.9. And Benson, which is, I backed at 17, it's 16.5 now, £20 win at 17 and £20 place at 4.4. Just for those who ask, you follow any of this at your own peril, I will paste these selections up on the website like I did yesterday. And the results of yesterday are up, where I've done about 300 bills. Right, on we go.
So, 2 brain-burning handicaps on day one. And guess what? We got 2 more on day 2 as well. Went close in both yesterday. Hopefully do a little bit better today. I must admit, the Coral Cup, I think it probably rank as one of my worst ever races at the Cheltenham Festival. I've gone close in it, but I can't remember back in the winter for about the last 10 years. No surprise, we're about 10-1 the field on Betfair. The Irish and Mr. Henderson have won the last 7 run-ins between them. 12 of the last 17 winners were second season hurdlers, and half of the last 28 winners won last time out. So maybe that selection criteria we can use in an attempt to solve a race I've described as an enigma wrapped up in a riddle. I think that's about the best way I can put it. I mean, there's a whole host of interesting horses here. I wouldn't put the one off the one that you had a good word for. I'm not going to bore everyone and run through the whole field. I've backed 5 against the field. And the way I play them, I back all of them, stick the stakes in it after price I get, and just literally leave it. So you could strike lucky and get all five match back. You just got to be happy with it. It's more a sort of just a bit of a punting race. I backed them all at prices. The 5 I've backed: HMS Seahorse, Safrouer, Phil Dore, Beacon Edge, and an Epic Song as well. I think an Epic Song is probably the most interesting of that lot, of that 5, without boring anyone too much about the race. But Beacon Edge has got a real look of the sort of owners who, the owners, Jigginstown won this with a very similar sort last year, Commander of Fleet. An Epic Song Is from the same connections, who had a very good run from Fast and Slow yesterday. Very good target trainers. South Brewer had actually backed for the Martin Pipe, non-run, no bet. So it's interesting they've switched him here. Phil Dorr, another Elliott horse, top weight, fits quite a few of the criteria that I outlined. HMS Seahorse is from the same yard, who had a good run a year yesterday. Paul Nolan, what did he train yesterday? The horse I backed yesterday. Can't remember the name of it now. He won at Navan last time out. He's had his knackers off, which seems to have helped. So they're the five darts against the field. As I say, back them all.
And just for people who are all new to this, so basically what you're saying is there. Well, I'll just do one horse an example. You back HMS Seahorse at 12. So let's say you back it for £20. Yeah. You then put a lay in at 6 for £12. £6 for £20.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it gets matched, then Andy's got no risk. He's got all that remaining profit left on the winner, and he's got his stakes out. So that's how he's doing.
It's a pseudo Dutch with a bit of cover.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, you could sort of play them like the golf, really, like you play your golf.
Yeah,
but it is that sort of race, and I could be totally and absolutely wrong there.
Do remember it is Cheltenham, and it is very difficult racing. Matt Wyatt has said just a few statements. He's off and running here, Matt. He's like commenting away. Jerry Colombi kept round going first time left hand, so that's in the race previously. Profitable to back top six in the weights. And that has been profitable to back seven out of the last 10 years winners. Right. Okay. Matt,
if anybody does like to give me any money for all this work, then it's all in the stuff that I've sent you to say.
Yes, it is. Yep. Sign up to Andy's thing. The link's been mailed out, sent out. A very, very good write-up. Everything he does is genuinely very informative. Right. Now we come to my favourite race of the week, Andy. Queen Mother. It is my favourite race at Cheltenham. Viking flagship, Moscow Flyer, masterminded, one man. It was sort of the Viking flagship days that saw me fall in love with Cheltenham. I think we've got an absolute cracker today, haven't we? Since I've done this morning, Edwardston and Erzsamine were both 2.64. And Erzsamine's now gone to 2.48. Edwardston's drifted right out to 2.96. And Editor Dujit, who won the Clarence House, funny enough, when I was up with you, when I came up to watch the Mighty Spurs stuff Preston and stay with you for a couple of days. That was that weekend at Cheltenham. Editor Dujit won there, and that's third in the betting. 7.6 was 8 when I did it this morning. The winner, I don't think there's any doubt the winner will come from those three personally. The way I bet, I guess I would probably go for Editor Dujit. But I'm just going to take a watching brief. It's a race I'm not having a bet in. I've just got a sneaky feeling the old champion might defend it, but it's purely just a feeling. But I think we're going to see an absolute cracker here.
It's actually a rerun of that Clarence House, which usually run at Ascot. And of course, they moved it this year to Trials Day. And it's just sort of basically a rerun of that with added value with Nube Negra and Greener Team thrown in for a bit of added value, isn't it? I'm probably not going to have a bet in it. If I had a bet in it, it would be Edwardston. I think he's the value. I'd actually have him favourite. So I think they've got those two the wrong way round. That's my personal opinion. It's been quite a drift.
It's drifted a bit this morning.
that's the way I tissued them. So it's fascinating tactically because Editor Dujit, or EDG as I call him for short, probably got a very... He's the one on that Trials Day race, the Clarence House, where everything went right for him. He got a perfect ride from the superb, a very, very good rider, Noel Houlihan, very, very good ride. And I think what happened was, if you watch it back, that Tom Cannon was too busy being critical, watching what Erzsamine was doing. And he got himself... He had about 8 lengths to make up in the end. Erzsamine didn't jump particularly well, and I think he needs to be ridden a bit nearer the pace. Edwardston got too far back, then headed EDG on the run in after Erzsamine had made a mistake. So there's an awful lot of, you know, there's an awful lot of things that can change in this race. I've got a feeling that, and EDG could have pace up front alongside him this time if they decide to go on with one of the outsiders as well. There's no way Nube Negra or Greenatina are going to get involved, but Fernando Sibilla has gone forward as well. So that's another sort of bit of a spoiler. It's a fascinating race to watch, a bit like yesterday. It's a race I'd probably rather watch than play in and see how it plays out. If somebody said to me, you've got to have a bet, I'll give you the money, I'd put it on Edmundston. I think he's the value at the prices, but I don't need to have a bet to enjoy a race which could be fascinating tactically. For EDG to win again, everything has to work out for him, and it'll surprise me if one of the big two don't win this. And on all those two, I'd be with Edmundston.
Okay, and I'm with the other one, Jermaine. Just tentative mention, as I say, I'm not having a bet. Apparently, Edwardston's been boosted to 9-4 by Bet365, which could account for a bit of that drift.
Pesky match bettors with old Bald Fred's boosts as well. You see them.
The old Kevin Kelly's, Kerry Blames of the world running around the eel shops and that causing us problems. And for those of you on Andy's paid stuff for Cheltenham, that has just been sent. So do check your inboxes. You should have that. If you haven't got it, please do email support@ftsincome.com.
I only managed to write 3,500 words today. It's a bit of a poor effort.
If you sign up between now and race time, please just email support@ftsincome.co.uk, and Kerry, when she gets stopped running around William Mill shop, she will send it to you.
She got a few plus cards.
She's calling me an idiot right now, I'm telling you. She's sitting there. Right, the 410 is the cross country. For me, on a personal note, it's just an absolute pleasure to not see Tiger roll here. Those who followed me for a long time, it's just an absolute beauty to get through a Cheltenham meeting without Tiger roll running. Delta Work is the favourite that won this last year at 2.48. I am taking a punt on, if my results keep going, something I'll be doing by the end of the week. Back on the lash, for me, I'm having a very small punt, £20 win at 21 and £20 place at 4.7, three places. Other than that, I've got no idea.
It's a bit of a Marmite race, this, isn't it? I mean, you either love it or you hate it, don't you? Really? I mean, it's like, does anybody remember that TV program with, who was in it? Richard Bryars in it? Ever Decreasing Circles? I always think of that because I always think to do is run around the middle of Cheltenham in ever decreasing circles, jumping weirder and weirder fences. It has a place. Would it be one of my favourite races? Not really. I just like it when they jump the cheese wedges. Quite like that. Gordon Elliott's got this by the short and curlies, hasn't he? He's got Delta Work, who spoilt the Tiger Roll party last year. And that probably gave you. And Galvin, who's a probably sort of classy new kid on the block, who hasn't got any course experience, but they have schooled him around here. I know that for a fact. And the British horses haven't won this since 2014, when Balthazar King won it. And we won't be winning it this year either. Either one of those will probably win it. And that's about as far as my interest goes in the race, I think. Although I have written a little bit more on it than that. But if you again, a bit like the previous race, don't need to have a bet. This is probably the weakest day of the festival for me. Delta Work has got his ground. If it's soft, then Delta Work's got his ground, and he would be the one I would pick. But beyond that, I might be going to
Kerry is saying she's got to have gin on lime.
It jumps well. Whether it stays this far is another matter.
Yeah, let's hope, Kerry, it's not like you on gin and it doesn't fall over, eh? Let's just hope that it can stay on its feet. Right, so that's the cross-country.
Let's hope it's not like Shaz on the gin.
Yeah, well, the two of them together are an absolute shambles. And then we get to the 450, two-mile handicap chase, 19 selections. This is where I absolutely come into my... This is where I make my big move of the week here. This is where we get things into blue figures. I'm having two at nice... Go on. I love the way he said it. Go on. He just knows I'm talking shit. Two at nice prices and one near the top of the market. I'm going with a course and distance winner at... 28 before midnight, ridden by Sam Twiston Davis. That is going to piss in. That's going to get chased home by Dad's Lad at 30. And then third time lucky is going to nose out Dino Blue to get the tri-cast up. So I'll probably just go straight for the tri-cast. I don't know about backing the other, backing them individually. I'm having a £25 win on Before Midnight at 28. £25 place at 5.8. Four places. £20 win on Dad's Lad at 29. I think you can get 30 now. And £20 place again at 5.8. And £20 win third time lucky at 12.5. £20 place at 3.4. Nailed it. I absolutely nailed this race.
Right. Okay.
He's stunned silent. Look.
Fair enough. Just remember that they've changed the course they run this on. From the they've switched this to the much slicker old course and the new course last season, so you do tend to be on the pace. I won't be back in any of your three.
I did put that into all my form figures this morning. I got up at 5 o'clock to do this form.
Okay. Well, you were probably up at 5 o'clock with the nursemaid duties at the moment. There's been a few people for this were trying to be very clever in handicapping their horses, because there were a few notably very well handicapped horses who didn't actually make the cut for this. One of which I shall divulge now, which was Saint Seagal. The horse is very well worth watching out for a big 2 mile handicap in time, because he's very well handicapped. They missed the cut by one for this. I've already backed one horse for this, Antipost. Which is now nearly favourite, or should be favourite, Dino Blue.
I never got that info. Where was what?
Ian, you are part of my service, aren't you? And it was put in there about 2 weeks ago. So, as I'm sure a couple of the other chaps who are in here and who are part of my daily service will attest that I actually put Dino Blue.
I was in the hospital.
Well,
that's major surgery.
I can't be dealing with everyone. Anyhow, JP has got a very, very good record in this race. So that would also bring in the wonderfully named Andy Dufresne, who was one of the gambles of the meeting of this last year. He's a really strong traveller. I think if you were going to pick out one to trade in this race, it would be Andy Dufresne. Beyond Dino Blue, I've just had a few stabs, as I have in the Coral Cup, with a one or two there. Epsom de Hoo is one of them. The incredibly well handicapped sizing Potsy for the Pipes is another one. And Coeur Sublime, who could be a complete and utter hound, meaning that. He might well get there, come there cruising and not go through with his effort. It might be that, but he's probably another one to trade. So Dino Blue was my main bet, backed him a few weeks ago at bigger prices, and three stabs there. Coeur Sublime, Sizing Potsy and Epsom de Hoo, all stabs, which I shall trade in a similar manner to the ones in the Coral Cup. And yes, I have had the speculative doubles across the card, 5x4, to incredibly small stakes.
Best of luck with that. I hope one of those comes in for you.
Well, they are real pop shots.
I think
Dino Blue will run well. If you wanted to back a horse to trade, then Andy Dufresne is probably the one. If you wanted to have a little bit of a practice, a little bit of a back to lay, then he would be the one. But again, watching his race back last year, I wasn't completely convinced he got up the hill there.
Right, okay. Andy Dufresne out of Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah,
that's a character in that, yeah. Mm. And then that brings us to the lucky last, the 5:30 at Cheltenham, the champion bumper. I have absolutely not got a Scooby, so I've just picked one that goes... Again, in the nature of my personality, fun. I'm going to have £25 win at 8.4, and that's it.
Well, I'll read you exactly what I've written. Another mystery race, and even more so this year, as Millie Mullins pumps up the entries with 10. Yes, 10. And you'd put that in true video printer style, like they used to do on the football when somebody scored like 7,
yeah,
and then print it out, or 7 or more. he's got runners. He can have his own race. Now, I don't often bet in bumpers. I won't be betting in this one. I've bung some trends in the copy today. If you can work this one out, answers on a postcard. But I'll be off to make myself. Well, I will watch it, but I'll be off to make myself a cup of tea probably before and just watch it. But
right, Daniel just, Lyons says it's all about Patrick Mullins here and a dream.
I don't even think Mullins knows which is his best horse, and he often wins it with his second, third, fourth, fifth. Could be the 10th string this year. I've got absolutely no idea. A friend of mine is very keen on the Elliott horse, Dream to Share, I think it's called.
I should have Dream to Share.
That's it, yeah. Better Days Ahead, that's the one. Sorry, put you all away there. Better Days Ahead at double figure odds. But to be honest with you, it's a race I can well leave alone.
I'm going with these fun. Like these podcasts, like these YouTube broadcasts, Andy. Fun. I have to say, if anybody listening to this, you can follow mine, but I would much easier be following what Andy does. We don't collaborate beforehand because I think that would just waste the time. I like it when he comes on and absolutely destroys my first race of the day.
Well, I hope I'm right because I'm going to get destroyed tomorrow. I'd rather someone had an opinion and was wrong rather than said F all.
Yeah, that's right. So I hope you're enjoying these, guys. I'm absolutely loving it. I know it's a really busy week for you, Andy, so I cannot thank you enough for coming on. I've got to go off and do some nursing. We will be back tomorrow for a review. Who knows what shape it's going to take? It's all on that first race.
A disclaimer, and it's all about the price.
People who've played golf for me, there's a few of them who've played golf for me. I don't mind losing, like I said, but I'm a really good winner. I'm very noisy when I win. So, have a lovely day, guys. Good luck, whatever you back today. Good luck, Andy, on your trading today. I hope it goes well for you and your guys. And I will see you tomorrow morning.
We will. Okay. Bye for now.
Cheers.